الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقل عبادي يقولوا التي هي أحسن إن الشيطان ينزغ بينهم إن الشيطان كان للإنسان عدوا مبينا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders, we had been discussing the signs of the pious people, those people that have taqwa and piety. And one of their signs is that they safeguard their speech. They look after the tongues and safeguard their speech. The power of speech that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us indeed is a very great asset, something whereby we express our sentiments, our feelings, our needs, our requirements, our desires, our comments, something through which we communicate with the outside world, people around us, families, our friends, our children, community at large. It is actually a vehicle of what we have in our heart. It conveys of those things that we have in our heart, the tongue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And it is so powerful, it is like a so powerful that this very tongue can become a means of great stages in paradise, and this very tongue can become a means, Allah forbid and save us, for going and falling into the fire of Jahannam. It's so powerful that can unite those hearts and those people that are separated for years. Good words of advice, compassion, love, affection can unite those hearts. And it's so powerful also that the heart can be shattered and broken when this tongue is abused and not used properly. It is like a horse. When the horse is bridled, then obviously the rider is safeguarded. But if it's unbridled, then what happens? It runs havoc and chaos, and we find that the rider also is endangered, and sometimes he loses his life. Similarly, is this tongue, if it is unbridled, it's not controlled, can cause havoc and destruction. And if it is controlled, then it can become a means of great good, and it can become a means of unity and goodwill and harmony and peace in the face of this earth. It is this very tongue that remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a person enters into the fold of Islam by declaring the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he saves himself from the fire of Jahannam. Through this very tongue, remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the different forms of zikr and askar, and he becomes close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his rank is elevated. It is through this tongue that a person speaks kind words and imparts knowledge of the Quran and Hadith to people around him, and changes their lives and affects their lives and guides them towards the path of piety and righteousness. It is this very tongue whereby he trains his wife and his children, gives them Islamic guidance, proper upbringing, etc., teaching them etiquettes and morals, etc., through this very tongue. Through this very tongue, sometimes there's warring parties. He gets together and sits to them, speaks to them, negotiates with them, and he brings about peace between them. And as I mentioned, on the contrary, if this is abused, then this very tongue, Allah save us, sometimes we utter words that are unpleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Words of kufr that takes a person out of the pale of Islam. Words that break the hearts and shatters the hearts of people around us. Words that break the hearts of your friends that were your friends, childhood friends sometimes for 30, 40 years. Person did not speak the right sentences, broke that person's heart, and the friendship was all gone. That's why there's a famous saying that as far as the wounds of the arrows are concerned, or the wounds of the swords are concerned, they can be remedied and they can be cured, but those wounds that are inflicted, jarahatul lisan la yultamu, those wounds of the tongue, they cannot be healed. Those wounds of the tongue that cannot be healed. That is why we have to be extremely cautious and careful how we speak to people and how we address people. The Quran Pak in many verses that are recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Qul li ibadi yaqulu allati hiya ahsan." Tell my servants that they should say those things that are the best, and that is the most suitable things to say, they should say those things. Why? Inna shaytana yanzagha baynahum. Because shaytan brings about discord between you. In other words, at the time of mutual argument, sometimes a person does not speak in the right manner, and this sows the seeds of mutual enmity in the hearts of the people. Shaytan looks for such opportunity, and the trap door of shaytan is this, that he makes you abuse yourself and say things that are not proper, inappropriate, and with the result we find that the enmity, the seeds of enmity are planted. That is why here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell his servants, to tell us to speak in a manner that is best and most suitable so that the shaitan does not sow discord between us and the Muslims and the brothers around us. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. And another verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that you should say good to the people. Those things that are good should be told to the people. And another verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, مَا يَلْفَزُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. That there is no word that a man utters, but there is a person there, an angel that is appointed, a watchful angel that is appointed to write down and record all those things that he is saying. So imagine here, every word that we say is recorded. There are two interpretations. Some say every single word a man utters, whether it is good, whether it is bad, whether it is harmful or hurtful, or whether it is beneficial, every word is recorded by an angel. And some say, no, only the good are recorded, only the bad words are recorded of a person. Hazrat Bilal bin Haris radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions one riwayat here that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned words to this effect, that sometimes a person utters a word. He utters a word and he is unaware, utters a word through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely pleased with him because of that word. But he is unaware. He is unaware of how much the reward of this is. And with the result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes for him the reward of his pleasure right up to the day of judgment. And similarly, on the contrary, a person sometimes utters a word and he is unaware, utters a word that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is unaware of the great consequences of the punishment, the disastrous punishment that follows of this word. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in account of that word, writes for him punish his anger or his punishment right up to the day of judgment. Otherwise, this person is not conscious of what he says, but that word is so evil that it lands him into the fire of Jahannam. Or that is so good that it becomes the means of his elevation and great rewards in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For words are such that can bring about sweetness around us, or that can sow the seeds of bitterness around us. Person that speaks in a nice manner, in a proper manner, not in a harsh manner. And what happens? People begin to love him and like him. The person who speaks harshly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq, then the people cut away from him because of his speech and because of the manner that he addresses the person. In the hadith we find one incident where some people had come, some Jews had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him, Assalamu alaikum, which means may death be upon you. On the pretext of greeting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said instead of saying Assalamu alaikum, they said Assalamu alaikum, which means Ma'azallah, Allah forbid, may death come upon you. When Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha heard this, he said, upon you be death and the curse of Allah. Upon you be death and the curse. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha that you should have not said this, you should have just said, and upon you too. You should have not used such harsh words of death and curse upon you, but you should have just said upon you too. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is cautioning Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. On what occasion, when the enemies of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam come and they use derogatory words, words trying to disgrace and humiliate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at that point in time also Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cautions as Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha that you should not be so harsh and so hard and crude when you are addressing people, but you should speak politely and you should speak kindly. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had gone to Fir'aun, he and Harun alayhi salam, then they were told, فَقُولَ لَوْ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Then tell him, speak to him in very soft speech. Speak to him very calmly and speak to him not in a harsh manner. Yet we find that the greatest of enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that claimed to be to Allah himself, God himself, here he is being addressed. By who? By Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the best of the creation at that time, that is the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the chosen beings. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cautions him and tells him that he should speak to him also in a tone that is kind, a tone that is soft, a tone that is not harsh and hard, showing to us that no person has this license to speak to somebody in a harsh manner, no matter how sinful that person may be, whether he's a Muslim or whether he's a non-Muslim. We should address him in a manner that is completely proper and completely kind. One hadith is mentioned, some person came and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Prophet of Allah, what is success? First thing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Amlik alayka lisanak, that you should safeguard your tongue. The first part of success is safeguarding your tongue. In other words, do not abuse your tongue. Do not use it in a manner that is not appropriate. Do not speak harshly and violently and in an irrespectable manner to people around you. Don't speak those words that are not proper in the Shariat. There's so many abuses of the tongue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us and save us. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first he tells him that safeguard your tongue. Then he tells him that your house should be sufficient for you. Otherwise, stay within the confines of your home. And we all know what a great advice this is when a person goes out of his homes, how many types of fitnas he is surrounded by all over. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, and wal yasa'ka baytuka, that your house be sufficient for you, stay within the confines of your home. And thirdly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, wabki ala khatiyatik, cry upon your sins. Cry upon your sins, in other words, reflect upon your sins and be remorseful and be grieved and cry upon the sins that you have committed. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prescribes the prescription for success, and the first thing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says is amlik alayka lisanak, look after your tongue, safeguard your tongue. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that do not speak with such words that you will be remorseful tomorrow. La takallam bi kalamin ta'ziru minhu ghadan. Do not say anything that tomorrow, meaning on the day of judgment, you will become remorseful and regretful and you will be sorry for what you have said. So in other words, check your tongue and check, think properly before you speak. And if you look at the location of the tongue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put it in between these 32 soldiers here that it is covered up all the time. And a person has to open his mouth and take out his tongue to speak. It is not something like the eyes that the person apparently sees without even intending. No, he has to make a concerted effort, so to say, or firm intention before he can say anything. That is why a famous saying is, first think, then speak. In other words, first think and consider what words I'm going to say and what will be the effect of what I'm going to say. Basically, there are four types of speech. One is that speech is extremely good and beneficial for the people. Person should engage in that at all times. Amar bil ma'ruf, nayyan al munkar, commanding the people to do good, teaching the people the etiquettes of deen, or teaching them manners or etiquettes, etc., in the home, the children, the wife, the family, etc. And some are those that are completely dangerous and disastrous and injurious, that a person should abstain from all times. The third category is that which has some good and some evil. Here also the ulama kiram mentioned that we should, because of the evil component, a person should abstain from speaking such speech as well. And fourthly is that type of speech that is completely vain and useless and has no benefit whatsoever. Persons should abstain at all times from such speech. There were some pious people that used to write down every single word that they used to utter from the morning till the evening, and then they used to go by and see those words and see whether they were really worth speaking or were they useless and futile. And sometimes a person says the words he feels are not really derogatory or not really bad or disastrous, but it's so bad. On one occasion, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha mentioned that, suffice for you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, that Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha is short. This suffices for you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to her words to this effect, that if these words were taken and thrown into the oceans, then they would have spoiled the water of the oceans. Just this one single word of saying that she is short, and in reality she was short. So here sometimes we feel this is the reality. This is where backbiting comes in, that one of the great maladies of the tongue is this, that we engage in backbiting. Backbiting is sometimes misunderstood by a person. Companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquired from him, that, O Prophet of Allah, what is backbiting? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Zikruka akhaku bima yakra, that to mention something about your brother that he dislikes. And the Quran says, أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُرَ لَحْمَ أَخِيَ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Here in the most strict and severest words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns against this evil malady and sickness. May Allah save me and all of us from this, which sometimes creeps in so unconsciously, person is not even aware that he has backbited a person. That does any one of you like to eat the flesh of his brother? أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيَ مَيْتًا, his dead brother. Does any one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? Firstly, to eat human flesh, then to eat flesh of a dead person, then to eat the flesh of a dead brother. فَكَرِهْتُمُوا, definitely you detest it, you like it, you abhor it, you do not like to do so. So this is tantamount, backbiting is tantamount to eating the flesh of your dead brother. Why? Because he is not there to defend himself. You are talking evil about your brother who is not there to defend himself. You are talking evil about him. And that is why this is a very mean action, a very mean action, a very cowardly action, that a person talks ill about his Muslim brother, not in his presence, because he is not there to defend himself. He cannot say anything. And this person carries on. And the person sitting next to him keeps on listening. Al-Mustami'u Ahadul Mukhtabain. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us here about that passive backbiter. One is the active backbiter that is talking about evil, and one is the listener. If I am listening to somebody talking to evil, then I am also one of the backbiters here, and I will be equal as far as the sin is concerned. So here, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that to talk ill about your Muslim brother, that to talk ill about your brother behind his back. This is so common. So the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam inquired, O Prophet of Allah, what if that is true? Whatever we are mentioning about that brother is true, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that is backbiting. And if it is not true, then that is slandering him, falsely accusing him of something that he did not do. So now let us just sit back and consider, sometimes as a news item, we talk about a certain person's action, or a certain person did a certain thing, which is not a pleasant thing. We feel we are passing on information to my brother, or to my wife, or to my children, about a certain person, he did a certain thing that was wrong. This in actual fact is backbiting. Hazrat Maymun radiallahu anhu once sees in a dream, there is a Negro body there, and a dead body, and is told to him, he's addressed in the dream, that partake of this, eat of this. He says, O servant of Allah, how are you commanding me to eat of this dead body? He says, because you have backbited this person. You have backbited the slave, the Negro slave or so and so. He says, no, I have not backbited him. He said, yes, he has been backbited in your presence, and you were listening as if you are agreeable to what's being said. He was being backbiting in your presence, and it was you were sitting quiet, silently and listening as if you were in full agreement, total agreement of what that person is saying about him. It's mentioned thereafter that he began to constrain himself and abstain, and he should not allow anyone to backbite in his presence. This is common. We find sometimes a person says, I stay away from backbiting, but somebody comes in front of me and begins to speak about a certain person saying certain things that are not proper and indulges in backbiting. What should I do? We are duty-bound as Muslims when a person is being backbited in front of us to defend him. And the least that we can do is to stand up from there and leave that gathering, and not, so that we are not participants of backbiting, though in a passive manner and in an active manner, both are equal as far as the sin is concerned. In fact, there are great virtues for that person that defends his Muslim brother when he's being backbited. One hadith is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help that person in this world as well as the hereafter, that person that defends his Muslim brother when he's being backbited. Other words, somebody is speaking ill about somebody, you tell that person, no, this person is not like that, and you stop him and defend him and defend that brother in his absence and stop this person or tell him that this person is not like what you are saying. And by doing this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help that person in this world and the hereafter. And in another hadith mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save him from the fire of Jahannam if he saves his Muslim brother that is being backbited. And on the contrary, if a person has the ability to save his Muslim brother and does not defend him, there's mentioned the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take him to task in this world and the hereafter as well. This is how serious it is, person is backbiting. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the occasion of Mi'raj mentioned that we had gone up to the heavens, he had seen people who had nails of copper and they were scratching their faces and scratching their breasts or scratching their chests, and he inquired from Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, who are these people? It was told to him, these are the people that used to backbite the people in the world, and they should take away their honor and respect. And the worst type of usury is to backbite or to talk against the honor of a Muslim brother. To take away the honor of a Muslim brother, to attack the honor of a Muslim brother, is the worst form of usury and interest. On one hand, we save ourselves from interest, but on the other hand, this is rife where we talk evil about our Muslim brothers. So this is a malady also of the tongue, where a person talks evil. There are many, many causes. One cause may be hatred, jealousy, pride, or to try and appease the people that you are with, etc. Sometimes just out of jokes and jest, sometime out of mockery, etc., a person begins to backbite and talk evil and ill about the person, though it is reality, though it is a fact, that person has carried out that action. But this is so much disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A mu'min is so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that even if you're talking the facts about him that are detestable to him, not tolerated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like this. So as a custom, as a means, or as a preventative measure, wherever, especially when you sit in gatherings, either we do not sit in such gatherings where people backbite, or if you sit there, we are informal with our friends, you should tell them that please save me if I backbite, and you also should abstain from backbiting. And especially when you go into gatherings, sometimes when it's feasting, one person should tell his friends, we have enough halal food here, we should not partake of any haram food, the meat of any one of our dead brothers. Other words, please abstain from backbiting these gatherings. And this is normally where it occurs, where a person is sitting futile and has free time, etc., sits in some gatherings, meets somebody somewhere, sit down and begin to talk firstly about how are you and how's the weather, and thereafter the talk starts about a certain person, etc., and the carries on and on because there's nobody to defend. And that person who's listening feels, I'm not guilty of any crime, I'm merely saying yes or gee, I'm listening. No, that person also is part and parcel of this. One hadith, Rasulullah says, it is worse than fornication and adultery, because when a person fornicates, then he makes tawbah and makes istighfar, and Allah Ta'ala forgives him. But the person that backbites, till he does not go up to that person that he has backbited, then he is not forgiven. Though some ulama mentioned that this is on that condition when that person is aware of his backbiting. Another hadith, we find that the atonement for backbiting is this, that we make dua of maghfirat for that person. Allahumma ighfir lana wa lahu. Oh Allah, forgive us and forgive that person that we have backbited. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the evils of the tongue, though they are not only backbiting, false accusations, slandering, and speaking harsh words or accusations, false accusations against people, taking false oaths, etc. And many other sins we find of the tongue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Akhir da'wana.